This is the word of the Lord from Mark 3, beginning of verse 1. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save, live, or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held a calm council on the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea, and Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan, and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Children are invited to children's worship at this time. In Mark's Gospel, the Sabbath story is split into two parts, between chapters 2 and 3. However, in Luke, the same story unfolds as one continuous scene. Obviously, they have a different writing style, right? So Mark probably wrote his Gospel first, earlier, with his urgency and moving quickly forward from one story to another. Luke, on the other hand, took it and organized it more careful and orderly way. So it may be better we take a look how Luke tells this same story. On the Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any, but the priests to eat. And also gave it to those with him." And he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to destroy it?" As we have read together, Luke brings together in one section what Mark divides into two chapters. Of course, it's about the Sabbath.
Now, this is what happened. The disciples are walking with Jesus on the Sabbath. As they walking by, walking through the grain fields, they pick a few heads of grain to eat. And the Pharisees see them. And they are challenging Jesus of this. And then, Jesus, when the Pharisees confront Jesus, accusing his disciples of breaking the Sabbath, Jesus reminds them of David's story. I believe most of you are familiar with this story. When David was fleeing for his life from Saul, he was exhausted and hungry. So he entered the house of God and ate the sacred bread with his men. Of course, that bread was not meant for anyone else, but except for the priests. But by bringing up this story, Jesus points out the heart of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was never meant to feel like chains around your neck. God didn't make it to trap or control people. The Sabbath was meant for a gift. It's like a little gift that God rests right here in our busy lives. But the Pharisees used this Sabbath like a sentence, like a death sentence. Why Jesus treated it as a wedding day, full of joy, worth celebrating. But what then is the Sabbath truly about? Of course, as I, you know, on the way home to church from my home every day, I have to pass by the Seventh Day Adventist Church. Yes, thanks for so long. Seventh Day Adventist Church. I have to pass by every day. And today I found the parking lot was empty. There was no car. I wonder what happened. Of course, they had their worship yesterday. That's what they do, how they do. But look at us. We are gathering today. It's a Sunday. So my question is simple. Where does this difference come from? Which days? Of course, the people of Israel, keeping the Sabbath was the most important commandment. Because that's right there in the Ten Commandments, right? But the command is very simple. It's about rest. Rest. But Scripture gives us two reasons. What kind of rest and why? And we can find the first reason from the book of Exodus 20. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." What is the point? The point is actually very clear. It's about creation. But I know when you read this part, Exodus 20, you missed this a lot. Because I missed that. But it's about creation. The Scripture clearly tells. See, 4 in 6 days. 4 means because, right? Why you have to keep the Sabbath? Because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. It's about creation.
So the Sabbath means to pause and rest for a moment, to remember who you are and remember who God is. He is the Creator. He made all things. So please take a rest and remember who God is. So remembering the Creator, that's the first reason. That's why we need to rest. But this rest is a different kind of rest. We rest when we are tired, right? Have to have a great lunch, you know, you're tired. Take a nap, right? But what about God? He worked so hard Monday to Saturday, now take a nap. He made the creation all tired, so that's why he needs a Sabbath? No, God never take a nap. The psalm says, he never slumbers nor sleep. He never sleep. He never take a rest. He doesn't need a rest. So what kind of a rest is talking about here? Actually, in Hebrew, there are two kinds of rest. And first one is this, Shabbat, which means to settle, to stop, to pause. This is where we get the word Sabbath, literally meaning to stop. But there is another word for rest in Hebrew. It looks like this, Nuach. You have this sound, Nuach. Meaning, to set it up, to dwell. So if you look and read carefully the Genesis 2, you can find this concept. Shabbat Benuach Bo, which means God pause and rest. God settled down in his creation. That's an amazing concept. So God's rest on the Sabbath day is similar to a king's rest on his throne. Imagine, a king enters his kingdom. It's like taking his seat on the throne, right? So Isaiah shows it well. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. In other words, Sabbath is not about doing nothing, but it's about recognizing and celebrating that God is the Creator and who reigns over all His creation. So it's about creation. That's the first reason. And the second reason comes from the book of Deuteronomy 5. It says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. So the second reason is this. The Sabbath, it's not only for remembering creation, but it's also for remembering God's redemption. Why? You made a perfect creation. Why do you need the redemption? Why do you need the salvation? Because something terribly wrong with his creation. Evil entered his creation and manipulating and attempting humanity to take turn against the Creator, and shatter the beauty God made. Humanity, God's image bearer, they rebelled against God. And because of that, whole creation was broken. That's why you need the salvation. But God didn't give up. In Egypt, God already revealed His sovereign will by sending the 10 plagues and parting the Red Sea and leading His people out of slavery. God showed His will for redemption. One day, He will redeem, He will rescue us and from His creation, from the power of sin. That's why we gather on the Sunday, the Sabbath. Now the Sabbath becomes a day of rescue and redemption. So every Sabbath was like a weekly celebration of that rescue. It reminded Israel that it's not just God made them as a creator, but also He saved them because He made them. So salvation and creation go together on Sabbath day. So, what's the best day to worship Him then? Again, we don't keep the Sabbath on Saturday, but Sunday. But why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ, He rose from the dead. Because of the resurrection of the Christ. Because through His resurrection, we can see God's salvation even more clearly. Think about what's God's salvation. God's salvation is about creation still matters. So when we talk about salvation, we don't talk about just only our souls to be saved, but our bodies and His creation being restored. Because of the body of Jesus Christ, the resurrection body of Jesus Christ, our bodies and creation will be redeemed. As God, as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, as bodily. Because through His resurrection, we can see God's creation, God's salvation through His body. Because the resurrection body of Jesus shows that creation still matters. It affirms that our physical bodies and His creation are not disposable. But they are meant for redemption. They are meant for restoration. That's why the early church began to gather on the first day of the week, the very day Jesus rose from the dead. On that day, they remembered God as their creator, who never gave up on His creation. Through the resurrection body of Jesus Christ, He proved He is faithful to His creation. So they believed and confessed that the new creation was penetrated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because through Christ, God has redeemed His people and conquered death once and for all. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. So every Lord's Day is a weekly reminder that through the resurrection of Jesus, creation is being restored. His salvation is being fulfilled. Our rest, eternal rest, is drawing near to us. That's why week after week, for 2,000 years, Christians have gathered together on the first day of the week to proclaim, Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. However, the scribes and the Pharisees cared only about how to keep the Sabbath. They never stopped to ask why. Why it was important and who gave it. They had no idea because they had no interest in that at all. Be careful, you too. You come to worship without any thinking why you are here. You miss the word. I hope the Holy Spirit may control your ears to receive God's word. So, their concern, the Pharisees' concern, was just checking boxes, you know, the following Sabbath rules and keeping a perfect 10% and keeping up with rituals. Of course, those things are important, but they are not the heart of faith. So let me give you an example. This is a nice knife. It's a normal one. Probably you have a great one in your home. But what if this knife in the hands of a murderer? It can be a great harm, great weapon to harm people. Well, of course, if it's in hand in a great tool like the Corey, brother Corey, and it becomes a great tool to prepare a man's workday breakfast. I mean, the knife isn't, you know, itself doesn't change. But who holds it that makes it all difference? Likewise, the Sabbath itself isn't the real issue. What really matters is who gave it, to whom it was given. That's the point. That's why Jesus declares, God gave you Sabbath for the man, not man for the Sabbath. Because I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I came as the true image of the Creator to restore what you have broken. But you make my people slaves to the Sabbath? How dare you? How can the children of God be chained to regulations? This is not my Father's will. That's the voice we hear from the passage. The point isn't the knife, it's the cook. Yes, likewise, the point isn't the Sabbath, it's the Lord who gave it. Of course, a knife still needs to be sharp. You have to better keep it clean and ready. Likewise, yes, it's very important to pray earnestly, read the scripture, and then memorize it with all your heart, and not miss the worship. Very important. But if that faith starts cutting others down or making you feel superior, then you are using it the wrong way. It's like taking a kitchen knife meant to breakfast, turning it against the living heart, the image bearer. So, before you talk about keeping it sharp, you have to ask a bigger question. Why is it for? And who is holding it? Which means we have to ask ourselves seriously, what's the essence behind our faith? And the answer is simple. It's the loving heart. It's your soul. To who you are before our God. That's the essence of our faith. Now, let's go back to the second verse. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So now, Jesus enters the synagogue. Maybe the same synagogue in the Capernaum where he had once cast out a demon back in chapter 1. Sean has preached about the Pastor Sean preached. You know, as Jesus entered the synagogue, he saw a man sitting with a withered hand. And the atmosphere was tense because they were looking for Jesus. And they were seeing Jesus, watching Jesus, what he would do. And now the question is, who are they? Of course, people are mixed. There's some people are paying attention to listen and learn from Jesus. But actually, some of them were Pharisees, and they were there looking for the reason to accuse him. They wanted to pin a charge on Jesus. So, Jesus calls the man with the withered hand to stand among the crowd. And he said, and he turns to the Pharisees and says, which is right, on Sabbath, to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? The Pharisees wouldn't answer. Why? They were silent. Why they were silent? Because their hearts were hardened. And history shows us how. They built endless rules that made people slaves to fear. They claimed that even carrying a fig could break the Sabbath. Or, for example, if your chicken laid an egg, you couldn't eat on the Sabbath. Because he laid on the Sabbath, you couldn't eat it. If your family members were sick on the Sabbath, you couldn't heal them, unless they were dying. They made mercy illegal and compassion a crime. And here's the worst part. The same men who said you cannot heal on the Sabbath were planning to kill the healer. The very day that was meant to bring life, they decided to kill the life giver, Jesus Christ. So they hid this evil desire behind the silence. So they were silent. But Jesus heard, and he couldn't understand what they were thinking. He saw their trap. But he didn't fall into the trap. Why? Because he just spoke. He didn't do anything. He didn't touch. He didn't move. He just spoke. And here's what's striking. Nowhere in the law was it forbidden to speak words of mercy on the Sabbath. Jesus didn't break the law. He didn't do anything. He just spoke. But by his simple word, the man's hand was completely restored. Because the word of the Lord is giving life. And giving a new life is the true purpose of the Sabbath. Think about it. To be alive means that the heart beats, right? Our hearts are beating. But what about our spirit? When we hear the word of the Lord, our hearts are beating. But the Pharisees hardened their hearts because they don't listen. They are not interested in the prayer. They don't listen to the Lord. That's why their hearts became hard. Just like Pharaoh's heart who refused to let God's people out of Egypt. Their hearts became harder. Harder. And hardened. By the way, what is the heart in the heart? When I was learning English, I watched American TV show without Korean subtitles. To develop my listening skill. I tried a lot. I tried Lost, Prison Break, and Friends, Gilmore Girls, you can name it. But there is one show that I felt really struggle with, which is Grey's Anatomy. Oh, man, the medical terminology is so crazy and confusing. And I really respect Mark and John, they are an expert. But for me, it's really hard to understand the medical terminology. But I could follow those intense hospital scenes, right? The patient's heart flatlines, and the monitor starts screaming, and the doctors crying and yelling, clear, clear, and then trying to shut heart back to life. Let's take a picture of that moment. When the human heart literally hardens, and the arteries clog, and the muscles stiffen, blood stops flowing, which means life stops. And that's physically death, physical death. What about spiritual death? Likewise, when our hearts toward God grow hard, we don't care. We don't listen. We stop caring God because we are not listening to God. We are not interested in God's voice. It's like we are shutting down inside. And our relationships begin to fall apart. But why doctors use patterns to shock the heart back to life, our Lord Jesus Christ He simply spoke. And when he spoke, new life happened. The man's heart restored completely.
So, by this episode, Jesus teaches the true purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. That's the true purpose. And it's the same with our faith. Faith was never meant to be a burden or a measure of how religious we are. Faith was made for people, not people for faith. Do you understand? God gave us faith. Why? Because He loves us. Not to trap us in a religious performance, religious transaction. God's not a dictator who uses as a tools for His glory, forcing us and demanding our service. No! He calls us His people, His children, His family. You don't do transaction with your family relationship.
Of course, broken word they do in family relationship, transaction. That's gosh. Sorry, but disgusting. That's not the family concept from the Bible. But God treats us as His children, His family. He gives us without reason. He loves us. So, whenever we try hard to live out our faith, we need to pause and rest and ask, is this coming from gratitude and trust? Or it comes from fear, obligation, or transaction? Think about the false religion. You know, there's a great movie in Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. There's that unforgettable scene where the ancient priest, you know, offered a human sacrifice to their gods. They take out a man's beating heart and lift him toward the fire and showing how serious they are. It's shocking and brutal. It's scary and disgusting. But that's what happens when religions lost. Religions don't care about grace. When religions forget about grace, people start to think, if I just try harder, if I do more, if I take out my heart to God, then the heaven will notice me. Man, that's not faith. That's not the gospel. That's a transaction. God vomit. God disgusting. That kind of relationship. We saw many times, as Jeremiah is killed, I hate those worship. That's kind of a dumb. I wouldn't say that, but God really hates that transaction. But the thing is, the same spirit of legalism didn't die with the Pharisees. It is still paralytic in our hearts whenever we try to turn faith into transaction, thinking God will love me more if I just try harder. That's not the gospel. The true gospel is the complete opposite. The Lord of the Sabbath, the Creator, the Savior, the Risen One, came to us with unimaginable sincerity. The One who made the law die on the law. Do you know what that means? So think about it. The very One who made the law died. And then what happens to the law? The law cannot command you, cannot condemn you. Because the lawgiver himself died with the law. The law, no more power. In Christ, yes, in Christ there's nothing can condemn you. Nothing. You are free. No more sin, no more law. That we call gospel, right? But I'm sorry, that's 70% gospel, not full. Gospel is more than that. Think about creation. When God made heaven and earth in Genesis, every day of his creation, there was a special in a sentence. There was an evening and there was morning, day one. There was morning and evening, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And something is missing on day seven. There was no morning or evening on the seventh day. Why? Because that rest, that Sabbath, was never meant to end. Because our sovereign God is omniscient. He knew how we live. Humanity would act. He knew when sin entered the world, that rest was broken. And even ever since then, his good creation is groaning, waiting for the true rest to be restored. But the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lion of Judah, went to the cross and cried out, "It is finished." He has completed the Sabbath through his death. And 3 days, he opened the first day of the eternal rest. That's the true Sabbath. That's the day of the new creation has begun. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the new creation is alive. That's why Hebrews says, "So then, there remains the Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." That's why our Lord Jesus says, "Come, you all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest." In Christ, we can hold this rest. That's why we are gathering on Sunday. Because this is the day we can experience God's presence. This is the day, not just another weekend, it's the day of redemption. It's the celebration of the new creation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is still working because his rest is still open for you. Many of us come with a heavy heart. Honestly, some of our relationships are broken. With our friends, family, or co-workers, some of us are struggling with a difficult situation, waiting for answers that didn't come yet, Lord. We have prayed and prayed, we have hoped, but still we feel weary and burdened. Lord, please teach us and give us your peace. Give us rest that only you can give. Lord, teach us to trust you even when life feels hard. Please give us a little more faith. Lord, faith to see beyond what we can understand, beyond what we can believe. We need you, Lord. Open our eyes to see your hand in our lives. Let your presence bring comfort. Be present among us, Lord. Have mercy on us. We thank you, Lord. You are the Lord of the Sabbath, our Creator and Redeemer. And we pray in your precious name. Amen.
Please stand.